Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for February the 15th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio, the traditions of our founders. It's incredibly simple. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We're convinced that the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founders, absolutely the solution to the problems we face. We don't need a revolution, but a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth, no doubt, is in order. Wow, ladies and gentlemen, hope you had a delightful weekend as I did. Hope you enjoyed a fantastic Valentine's Day and celebrated the loved ones in your life. I hope you didn't spend all kinds of money and effort on things, rather on people, and hope you built memories that last forever. Welcome to the broadcast. A quick recap of Friday's show. We talked about there was an indictment naming seven more associated with the National Wildlife Refuge takeover. And I guess the FBI ran a website sharing thousands of child pornography images. That's USA Today. Yeah, you heard me. The FBI ran a website with porn images of children. That's how they supposedly catch the bad guys now, huh? Or do they become the bad guys, huh? 5 years after a scandal broke over the botched gun smuggling investigation known as Operation Fast and Furious, they say some government agencies are failing to make changes. In other words, it's still going on, is what they're telling you. New York Times, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. I guess Ford is adding start-stop technology to their new F-150s. USA Today. They say that you'll pull up to a stoplight, the engine will shut off, and then, of course, when you hit the gas again, instantly that dude will start up and roll on. It'll save money and save fuel and everything else. But I got a question. Do you think the start-stop technology might be stop-start technology? Especially, what if you're like the guys in the wildlife refuge and you're driving one of them vehicles? You think it might stop? Just wondering. 10 biggest income tax changes to plan for 2016. We talked about that. We also talked about John Kerry blatantly, publicly admits that CO2 cuts wouldn't change anything at all. Your lifestyle wouldn't change anything. They know that full well, but they want to control you using the environment as their trump card. That was our One Liberty Roundtable Live Hour 2 Friday. House weighs directly arming Kurds in northern Iraq, skirting Baghdad. Why are we one of the biggest countries in the world that arm nations, huh? Why do we run around and try to disarm the American people but arm all kinds of fighters around the world, huh? All in the quote name of peace, I guess. The only ones who have a right to keep and bear arms are everybody in the world. It's a God-given right of self-defense, is it not? All right. Congress to consider easing passage into the United States for immigrants. Yeah, Washington Beacon has that. You heard me. Congress to consider easing the ability for immigrants to come to America. All right. But they let the border leak like a sieve, huh? Pentagon to confer with the Justice Department on having women register for the draft. Yeah. Do you want women being registered for the draft or drafting women for the military? We'll talk about that as the broadcast unfolds. Why is nobody investigating the Russian Air Force plane over California, Nevada? Huh? Gary Franchi asks that question, and so do we. NASA / Google creates a new quantum computer. They say, listen to this, it's 100 million times faster than your PC. Man, that ought to spy on a lot of people, huh? 5 tips for staying safe in parking lots. Keith McCord wrote that piece. I just say you got to get a gun. You got to get a rape me not. That ought to keep you safe in a parking lot, I'm just saying. Alt School raises $100 million. Plans to open more schools. Disruptive technologies everywhere. There's also a campaign to establish high schools for a new era. Yeah. Her name is Lorraine Powell. Jobs. You know, Steve Jobs' woman. She's starting a $50 million project to rethink high school. We ought to rethink high school, but we don't need millions and millions of dollars for it, folks. Understand that education can be had for almost nothing in the modern society. 50 years later, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints returns the favor to who? To California Jews. Deseret News, what an incredible article. The Jews help the Mormons out. The Mormons help the Jews out. They all get along and promote good Christian behavior. Many would say, well, Sam, the Jews aren't Christians. They don't even believe in Christ. I get it. I understand the theological differences. I also get that kind, good people everywhere are doing good things for one another. And when we can find those stories, we celebrate them. Welcome to Liberty News Radio. We're a little different than most talk shows. We don't always just run negative, do we? The United States will take in 10,000 Syrian refugees. You cool with that? I'm cool with it. We just got to find out how to separate the refugees that are true refugees from those who are posing as refugees who are really terrorists, huh? All right, that's a recap of the broadcast that took place on Friday. It's still available on your Roku player on demand, as well as at libertyroundtable.com. Without further ado, Kirk Cosby, welcome, sir. All right, Lowell Nelson, welcome, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Somehow we lost Kurt. We'll try to get him back. And moving right along.
I can hear you perfect, but you can't
hear
me.
You great. Welcome, sir.
Huh. Okay. Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
Perfect. Now we're running on all cylinders, ladies and gentlemen. Before we get to the stories you have, Lowell, I got to bring up a couple of quick things that happened over the weekend. Sometimes there's just news that we've got to talk about a little bit. Sure. And I want to get your opinion on it as well. Headline says this. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia dead at 79. Now everybody's sad about that, but now they say Scalia found dead with a pillow over his head. Mainstream press is not reporting it. WorldNet Daily is. Now people are calling for an autopsy. Now here's the interesting part about this. I guess the person that declared him dead, what do they call that, the coroner? Did so over the phone, sight unseen for the body, and they did not ask for an autopsy. Now, the mainstream press isn't reporting pillow over his head, but is there something we're not being told about Antonin Scalia's death? Urgent calls are now beginning for an autopsy on Scalia. Any quick thought on that?
Well, I was puzzled when I first saw the headline last week when it came out and said he was found dead. I mean, typically, when a person dies, that's not the headline. They say, like, you know, so-and-so passes away, or something. I mean, it's just weird for them to say found dead. So it immediately made me think that maybe something was wrong, but, you know, I don't know. I wasn't there.
Well, and I'll tell you what makes me think strange. Not only did they report it like you said, but they first immediately said of natural causes. And now they're changing, well, it'll probably be considered a heart attack. And now we hear from the rancher, because he went to a ranch to rest and relax. And anyway, the rancher says that they found him dead with a pillow over his head. It just gets stranger by the second, sir.
Well, I think that where the autopsy needs to be done. I mean, just because we haven't done one yet doesn't mean we can't do one now. So let's get one done.
Amen to that. So anyway, Kurt, any comments on that? I hate to just run around thinking everything's a conspiracy, but when you have strange news being released, and more importantly, when you have the mainstream press not even reporting that detail, it makes you start to wonder very quickly. Kurt?
Well, it sure does. And apparently the family is saying they don't really want an autopsy. But, you know, I mean, apparently he was down there to shoot at some quail or something like that, some blue quail, if I remember right. And he had a nice evening meal, went to bed a little early, 9 or 10, something like that. Somebody checked on him like 8 in the morning, no answer. They went and did some stuff. 3 hours later, they checked on him, still no answer. That's when they went in to find him. But, you know, you just... look at this kind of thing. And here's a guy, I think he's a father of like 9 or 10 children, a big family, you know, and all that kind of stuff, and been on the court for like 30 years. And, you know, would certainly be fitting, at least for some, to say for this guy to exit the court because of his, you know, voting and all that kind of thing.
Well, especially when you can give Barack a chance to, you know, yeah, nominate slash appoint somebody else just in time.
That's right.
I don't know. And I'm not trying to make conspiracy out of nothing, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just saying it's very strange indeed. When we come back, we'll tell you a little bit more about Scalia in case you didn't know. Then we'll bust into a bunch of other stuff like, what is this, President's Day or something? All right, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia is dead, 79 years old. Scalia found dead with pillow over his head, reports WorldNet Daily, according to the rancher that found him. Is there something we're not being told about Justice Scalia's death? Urgent calls are now beginning for an autopsy. Now, just so you know, Justice Antonin Scalia was the author of the ruling for the majority in Prince Mack versus the United States. In other words, when Richard Mack went to court and won against the Clinton administration regarding the Brady Bill, Antonin Scalia was the lead justice to write the majority decision in favor of Richard Mack against the Clinton administration. Okay? This is important to understand, folks. Now listen up. This is a story of local county sheriffs boldly standing for the Second Amendment and states' rights. In the modern landmark case, the majority of five justices ruled that the interim provisions of the Brady Bill are unconstitutional. Scalia further refers to the dual sovereignty established by the U.S. Constitution that federalism was built upon. Scalia is being called a man of God, a patriot, and an unwavering defender of the Constitution. Now, personally, we wouldn't go that far, but he's done more than most for sure. His opinion states that the framers designed the Constitution to allow federal regulation of international and interstate relations matters, if you will, not internal issues for the state legislatures. The majority arrives at the conclusion that allowing the federal government to draft the police officers of the 50 states into its service would increase its powers far beyond constitutional intentional limitations. In short, the states are not subject to federal direction, and that the U.S. Congress only had discrete and enumerated powers, and that federal embassy was addressed by the 10th Amendment. He also proclaimed that the states retained an inviolable sovereignty. Important stuff to understand, folks. The Constitution protects us from our own best intentions, so that we may resist the temptation to concentrate power in one location as an expediency to the crisis of the day. All right, there you have it. Do you want to respond to this, Lowell Nelson?
I sure do, Sam. You said something quite very important there. When you said that the national government is to regulate, you know, commerce among the states, that does not mean to encumber them with numerous and trivial regulations. To regulate means to make regular, as used, you know, by the founders when they wrote the Constitution, as ratified by those ratifying conventions, by the delegates of those ratifying conventions. They wanted commerce among the states, and they wanted it to be made regular, so that, in other words, one state should not have tariffs against the products of another state. They just needed to be fair with one another and to allow the free commerce among states. And so the verb to regulate today means something far different than it meant to our founders. I just wanted to throw that in there. Not very many people understand that today, and it is the cause of much grief when the U.S. Supreme Court historically has delved into this regulation of, you know, the General Commerce Clause. They have way gone overboard and said, well, if you even grow grain in your state, that's affecting the grain producers of other states. Therefore, you know, we can prohibit your doing that. And so, you know, that's just way over the top. But more generally speaking, Sam, I view Scalia as one of the great minds of the past 50 years on the court. And I view his passing as quite a loss to, I would say, a pillar of liberty there on the Supreme Court.
All right. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Now, this brings up the question, maybe the motive for murder. What's the constitutionality of blocking a president on appointing a Supreme Court justice on account that they may not want him to be there? I'll let you speak to it. Some people asked me an email over the weekend about this, and I have a couple of answers, but you want to talk about it, Lowell, first?
Right. My answer on this is that I'm not too concerned either way it goes, and I'll tell you why in a second, but if the court has a session coming up, and I think they start here in the next few weeks or months or something and end in June or something, they have a session, and so if there is time to get a justice in there that can help do the work of the court, then I'm not opposed to doing that. There's some people who suggest that Obama would choose someone palatable to both parties, and it might be someone in with Scalia's mindset. And so, you know, but the reason I'm not too concerned about it, Sam, is because more and more I've come to understand that the states are sovereign. The states are the creators of the federal government, and therefore the federal government can do only those things which are strictly enumerated by the states in the Constitution. And this, again, is not a well-understood principle, but more and more people are coming to understand this thing. The federal government has only authority for those things, those objects that are specifically enumerated in the Constitution. And so, you know, if they want to rule on marriage, for example, then we should ignore their opinion on marriage, because marriage is a domestic issue. It's the purview of the states to define marriage and not that of the federal government. Same argument applies for divorce or for health care or for education. These are topics which for which the states have ultimate jurisdiction, and the states need to push back and simply ignore the opinions of the U.S. Supreme Court on matters on domestic matters such as these.
All right, I agree with you, Lowell. And so the question is, what's the constitutionality of blocking a president on appointing Supreme Court justices? And what I find fascinating about that is they say the president appointing. That very idea that the president just decides and that somehow Congress is in a block scenario is a bogus, in my opinion, false flag argument. Okay? And I'll tell you why. First, we read from the Constitution, and he shall nominate, and by it with the advice and consent of the Senate, appoint ambassadors, other public ministers and consulates, judges of the Supreme Court, etc., and then all other officers of the United States. So first off, there's a huge difference between nominate and appoint. Okay? So we read, with the advice and consent of the Senate. People don't even know what advice and consent means. They want to make it some complicated discussion about, oh man, that's a phrase that means something. Look, no, stop. Just take advice by itself, and what's advice? It's a noun, generally meaning an opinion about what could be done in a given situation. Advise is a verb, meaning to offer advice to counsel with. So as the president even derives his list of possible candidates, the Senate should be helping to create that list. Okay, they should do so without looking for a special interest party or group. They should simply say, look, we think this guy has, you know what, support from the American people. We believe he stands up for the United States Constitution, the rule of law. We believe this gentleman is sound and steady and has the understanding and background that will put the reality in the context of the founders. In other words, if the president gets the list together of potential nominees without direction / advice from the Senate, then he has violated the Constitution, and the Senate must demand he goes back to the drawing board and get their counsel, their advice, before we even start this discussion. So that means 101 people involved, 100 senators and the president, to say the least. And to start out by saying, hey, the president's going to do all this, is a bogus, false start if you believe in the supreme law.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit TopreserveTheNation.com to begin that restoration.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
We fought. We learned. We struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
So as the president gets his list together of possible candidates for the Supreme Court, advice from the Senate should be happening. That means the Senate should be involved heavily in even those who the potential nominations are. Okay, so what's the constitutionality of blocking a president on appointing Supreme Court? Look, there's no authority to block at all. There is authority, though, to provide advice. If that advice is ignored, you got to say, President, you're supposed to be taking us into counsel here, and you didn't. Go back to the drawing board, my friend. None of these people are acceptable. So we don't want to look at it as blocking. We don't want to look at it as the president did this on his own. Now it's the blame game. This is how the Constitution works. So 101 people come up with the, quote, potential list, and then the president picks from that list and nominates who he chooses. Now, if the president gets the list together without direction slash advice from the Senate, he needs to be brought back to the drawing board. They just need to say, President, you didn't follow the law, my friend, and therefore you're going back to the drawing board. You just are. I'm sorry about that. This is not political. This is the way the Constitution calls for this discussion to work. The president doesn't pick the next Supreme Court nominee slash appointee alone at all. Now, after the list is created, with the Senate's advice, the president nominates who he thinks is best. Then you got consent, ladies and gentlemen. Understand that. Consent means that the Senate gives the final approval and agree before the appointment. This is critical to understand, ladies and gentlemen, because what they want to do is make you believe that the Senate is involved in some kind of tactics. They shouldn't be playing those games. They should be taught publicly how this is supposed to work. Senate, get your ideas together. Have a meeting. Get your ideas together of your potential list. Let the president do the same. Get together and say, hey, what do you think of this list? And if the president has a bunch of people on the list that we don't even think is appropriate or they don't have on their list, you say, President, you might not want to nominate these guys. It's against our advice. It's not going to go anywhere. It's going to result in delay, 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 as Trump put it. We can't have that. But if we all, 101 people, plenty of them, in fact, the majority of them, are Republicans, are they not? Should be able to come up with a list of nonpartisan, appropriate candidates who understand the supreme law and are prepared to carry it out. That's how it is. And so this idea that the president oh my gosh, what's the president going to do, and Senate's dragging its feet, and let's play the blame game, is constitutionally completely bogus, Lowell Nelson.
Well, and the feeling that the Washington, D.C. exudes with those kinds of arguments and that kind of rhetoric is totally, totally opposite the feeling that existed back in the days of our founding and the framing of the Constitution. You know, I've just been reading to honor President's Day today, been reading the farewell address of President George Washington. And I just marvel at the love that he had for our country and the way he urged, you know, his countrymen at that day to be united, to be unified in good government, to make good laws that would assist the citizenry to be productive and to remain free and enjoy the liberties that they had fought so bravely to secure to themselves, you know. And that feeling is one of, let's pull together, let's be united, let's be one. And that is so different from what we see and hear from Washington, D.C. today in partisan politics and all the bickering that goes on and arguing and so forth. I mean, wouldn't it be nice just to have a wisp of the sentiment that George Washington and his colleagues shared when they were in charge of the country?
All right. What do you think of my explanation? Do you think it has constitutional muster? I think we need to start spending our time explaining how it really works, not playing the blame game. And that's what everybody wants to do. Let's just look at the law and follow it, for crying out loud.
Well, you know, and I appreciate your explanation of that, Sam. It sounds reasonable to me. I have not undertaken a study. I think it would be instructive to look at the way that the Supreme Court justices were appointed in the beginning, because we can take our best cues from them, I suppose. But, you know, I think advice makes perfect sense, that the Senate ought to help the president come up with a very good list of people who can fill that role. And then I agree with you that the Senate has the final say when the word consent means that, you know, if the Senate does not agree or does not consent to the person the president nominates, then they just go back to the drawing board and try to identify someone else with whom they will agree.
And the big problem is in this advice idea. Look, this isn't very complicated. Look up the word advice. You know what? If I'm going to do something, I'm going to take the advice of my wife. I'm not just going to say, ma'am, you don't matter, you're a woman or whatever. I'm going to say, look, let's sit down and talk about it. I want to hear what you have to say. I want to consider and ponder. Doesn't mean I have to pick exactly who you choose or who you advise, but it does mean when you get the consent, the final say, there's an intentional check and balance here that we seem to be ignorantly ignoring.
One of the other benefits of nominating someone who is like Scalia, who shares Scalia's ideology, is the multiple perspectives then that you maintain on the court. I think it would be foolish or short-sighted, to appoint someone who is simply a mirror image of someone else who's already on the court. You know, Scalia was independent. He had his own perspective, and that is so valuable, because you want 9 different perspectives of every case that is under consideration by the Supreme Court. We find that in party committees, by the way. The party committee will go off in the wrong direction if you have too much homogeneity on a committee or a leadership team or whatever. And so I think it's the same principle in the U.S. Supreme Court. I think it would behoove the Senate and the president to nominate someone who, like Scalia, understands the Constitution in the tradition of the founders, because then you maintain his perspective on the court. You don't undo all of the work that he has undertaken over the past 26 years, which is very confusing to Americans and to litigants, but instead you maintain the good rulings and so forth that he has brought to the table.
The intentional check and balance here is you avoid the court, because they'd be compromised to who they want. And you go to the executive branch and the legislative branch, and you take the Senate, which was supposed to be representatives by the state legislature. So the states, through their legislative representative, would then pick the Supreme Court decision. When you take away that and have the senators in a democracy-style popular vote elected, you take away that incredible check and balance the states had over the Fed. Now we play games with this check and balance. We're in real trouble. The reality is, folks, if the new nominee slash appointment by Barack comes down as a bad justice, I'm going to blame the Republicans. And the reason I am is out of the 101 people that are going to decide this, the Republicans have the majority. They clearly do. And what will happen is they'll play the blame game. The Senate will be caught stalling. The president will browbeat them for that. And then eventually they'll blame it all on the president, saying, oh, man, he picked a bad guy. It's so critical who we get as president. I think it's more critical who we get as senators. After all, they got to simply say, you're not taking our advice, buddy. Sit down and listen up and publicly televise that. We're telling you, we're not going to accept the people that you're putting up, my friend. We're not going to do it. And it's not a stalling tactic. It's the way the supreme law works. Anyway, the bottom line is we could really make a difference here. If we had a real president, we could. Speaking of President's Day, sadly, it's an appropriate day that we should be celebrating George Washington, not just President's Day. You wonder how George would handle it. Lol?
That's right, because he was right there as they wrote the Constitution. He heard all the discussion about it. He would sit down with the senators of the 13 states, that would be 26 people, and they would talk it over. They would identify someone or a number of people, candidates who would understand the law and understand common sense, understand the spirit of the Declaration of Independence, understand the moorings of liberty and how the good, the proper role of government. These are the kind of people that these 27 people, George Washington plus the 26 senators, they would kick these ideas around and then settle upon someone to probably make it a matter of prayer. Sam, as you know, George Washington and his colleagues were very prayerful, and they often and frequently importuned heaven for help in making their decisions. They would do this thing. They would, in prayer and prayerfully, choose someone who could serve the nation on the U.S. Supreme Court. And once they came to that determination, then George Washington, as president, would make that nomination. Those 26 senators would give their consent, and away you go.
When we get back, we'll talk about this a little bit more. Critical point, celebrate George Washington, the man, the 26 points of his farewell address. We'll do it in seconds. This is indeed Liberty Roundtable Live.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and appealing because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that young living essential oils is an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor Score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live. We're talking about George Washington's farewell address to celebrate on President's Day. George Washington, the man and what he stood for, 26 critical points. We'll never get it all covered here, but we can certainly highlight it and encourage you to read it yourself in its entirety to show your appreciation for George Washington, what he stood for, and to honor the man. Lowell?
Thank you, Sam. Every holiday, I try to do something that would honor, that particular day. And so I recommend to everyone, they do the same, that they reread his farewell address. He speaks of his love for the country, Sam, and that was a great love he had. He asks for God's blessings upon the nation, pleads for unity of the nation, advises the nation to avoid an overgrown military. He warns about designing men involved in combinations and associations. He enjoins strict obedience to the Constitution and strongly instructs against tampering with the Constitution. Warns about the dangers of political parties and party spirit. I know Kurt has mentioned this often on this show.
And wisely so.
And wisely so, yes. He reiterates that under the Constitution, government powers are distributed and divided to avoid dangerous consolidation. There is to be no encroachment between government departments. And he speaks of preserving the Republic. He notes that making changes to the constitutional form of government may only be done by amendment. There is to be no usurpation of power by government officials. He reminds the nation of the necessity of religion and morality in order to be free. He speaks of preserving property and justice in the court. He admits the necessity of knowledge if the nation is to be free and to remain free. He counsels the nation to make careful, wise, and limited use of public debt and credit. He speaks briefly of the necessity of taxes and revenue to perform assigned tasks. He gives detailed advice regarding foreign policy. He pleads with the nation to avoid entangling alliances with foreign powers. He notes some other great truths regarding foreign trade. He warns us against foreign influence in our government. He stresses the importance of national neutrality in the affairs of nations. And finally, he speaks favorably about good laws and free government, the ever-favorite object of his heart. So there in a nutshell are the points, the summary, I suppose, of his farewell address, and I am going to enjoy reading it thoroughly and studying it today in honor of President George Washington, in honor of today, President's Day.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Critical guidance from one of the, in my opinion, one of the lead founders who showed his humility. He had the opportunity to, quote, be king. He flat out turned it down. He had the opportunity to abuse and create a militant nation. He refused that as well. He was trying to go home to Martha more than he was trying to govern, believe it or not. That was in his heart. And it's evident in the things that he wrote, the things that he did, the things that he pushed for, the things that he rejected. It just shows the humility. Now, understand, he's just a man. We don't worship George Washington. However, we do think he was one of the greatest generals the history of the world has ever known. And we also think he was one of the greatest statesmen ever to live on this earth. Is he perfect? Far from. Is he Jesus Christ-like? Well, maybe like, because he followed the Prince of Peace. But he certainly was not above any other man in that sense. Rather, he was a true leader among men, a true patriot, and someone to be honored. Read his farewell address, ladies and gentlemen. It'll give you incredible guidance and prophetic warning. And when you pay attention to where we find ourselves today, you go, how could he have known? I believe because he was inspired of God and he did know, and he was there to protect us. And his farewell address is great, solid understanding of the founders and who they were and what they stood for.
You know, in his book, Scott Bradley recommends that every office holder in the nation really ought to read the Constitution and George Washington's farewell address every morning before they report to their office to commence their legislative labors. What a marvelous difference this would make in Washington, D.C., if our national members of our national legislature would not only read the farewell address and the Constitution, but adhere to its principles.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, there's your homework, if you will, or our invitation. I want to get this headline that you've got in here as well before we end the hour, Lowell. I know we're not getting to everything. I apologize. There's an article called The Three Republican Stooges Who Would Draft Your Daughters, written by Shane Kassler. Incredible article, Lowell.
Yeah, it was posted on the Ron Paul Institute for Peace and Prosperity website. You know, and I try to look at that website weekly, on a daily or weekly basis, and bring things to light that are very interesting. And this is the one that really caught my eye, and it's been in the news. And he posted the article because the powers that be in Washington, D.C. are considering asking the young, or requiring young women now to register for the draft, just like our young men do. And so it's a timely article, and I just wanted to bring to light the fact that there are three of the Republican candidates for president who agree that our young women, our daughters, and so forth, should register for the draft. And they're spinning it in a way that just turns your hair, curls your hair, because they're saying, well, you know, young women need the same opportunities as the young men. They're pitching this, they're spinning this in a real weird way, Sam. I mean, opportunity. They're pitching it as an opportunity for women. And the women have a right to be required to sign to register for the.
Yeah, women have a right to become a slave too. They're crazy.
It is crazy. It's insane. And for these three presidential candidates, namely Marco Rubio, Jeb Bush, and Chris Christie, they all agree that we should ask the young women to register for the draft so that they too can enjoy the opportunity to go serve in the military just like the young men. And this is insane, Sam. It boggles my mind.
It's hard to even talk about it because of the immorality of it, all pitched as an opportunity. It's psychotic, to say the least. Lowell says this: conscripting our men and women is evil, and it is contrary to the ideals of liberty we, the American people, profess to value. I think that says it best. That's exactly what it is.
You're right, Sam. And I'm so disappointed that the Republican presidential candidate would take a position contrary to the principles of liberty. I mean, we profess to be people who value liberty, and yet we turn around and support this kind of a policy. It just boggles the mind, and I'm so disappointed in these three who have taken this particular position. But you're exactly right, Sam. It's an evil practice to conscript young men and women to go fight a war for politicians they don't know, to fight people that they do not hate, and to be involved in. I mean, war is so evil, Sam. It corrupts the values of those who are engaged in it. It results in death and destruction and dismemberment and harm to countless thousands of innocent people. And it doesn't breed the goodwill that the Prince of Peace wishes for his children here upon this earth.
And suffice it to say, when we murder babies, call it abortion, say that a woman has a right to her body, we're really abusing motherhood, an ordained opportunity from God, and we reject that and act like women are better off as sex objects or out in the workforce by force, then we decide we're going to conscript them, force them into the draft, suggest that it's an opportunity for them, when the truth is it's evil and it's contrary to the ideals of liberty and God's moral law. Men are supposed to be protectors of women, not put them on the front lines in harm's way. But again, the more immoral we become, the more this nation will be on a train wreck, the more we will have nothing but trouble in America. And again, everybody will blame the Constitution, where that's exactly what we need to return to. We need to preserve this nation. We need to restore the principles that made America great if we want to be great again. And it starts with morality in the people, Lowell.
Now, if a woman wants to serve in the military, she's perfectly able and willing and at liberty to do so, if that's her choice. She can volunteer to serve in the military. And I have nothing against her doing that if that's something that she wants to do. But what I am opposed to is conscripting or forcing a person into what something worse than slavery. If you were a slave, at least all you had to do was pick cotton, and other terrible things, I suppose, but you, at least your life wasn't so much at risk as you would be serving in the military in a wartime environment.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Lowell has so much more to discuss. We have a lot to talk about taxes, about the Utah legislature. We just can't get to those items. I had to focus on this Scalia thing because it's so critical for people to understand the reality of what's happening and what we ought to be doing, that it's vital. Lowell, we'll try to get you on the program more often because you just have so much good stuff to cover and I never get to it all. It's all my fault, sir, but I appreciate all your efforts. I want to celebrate George Washington's legacy on this wonderful day. They sadly cheapen it by calling it President's Day, sir.
You're right, Sam. When we were kids, they had a day in February for George Washington's birthday and a day for Abraham Lincoln's birthday. And that those times, we could focus more on those gentlemen.
Thank you so much, sir. CampaignForLiberty.org. This is LibertyRoundtable.com.